Okay, if y'all will get your Bible and open your Bible to the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. It's a familiar story that most people have heard, Genesis chapter 28. And I want to look at several things here. Genesis chapter 28, like I say, it's just a familiar story. People have heard this story and know some about this story. And I say this a lot, and I don't know how to not to keep saying it over and over and over. The letter or the literal, or that which you look at from Scripture and you try to make it literal, I think is, now I say I think, so that means that this is a personal conviction, I think is the greatest hindrance that we have to trying to understand the Word of God, as we call it the Word of God. In other words, the Bible or Scripture. Literalism. Literalism has its tentacles in all of us, no matter who we are. And I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about every one of us. Literalism reaches down inside us, and you'll read something. You'll read a story in what you would call the Scripture, and immediately, if you don't even watch yourself, immediately your mind will try to look at that and take it literal. In other words, I'll just use some for instances. Let's just say Abraham, when he's called out of the Chaldeans, your mind will grab that instantly and make it a literal. Moses, leading the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage, your mind will grab that and immediately you'll make it literal. Noah and the flood, your mind will grab that immediately and try to make it literal. I say that the greatest hindrance in understanding what God is saying is literalism. Trying to take that God has spoken, or that God is saying from the Spirit. God said, "My words are spirit and they're truth." Trying to take that God is saying and then try to give it just literal, natural understandings. And I say this, and I'm not saying that I don't believe or receive the literal or historical, but I am saying this: if you take all of the things that God is trying to show us and put them in a historical, literal setting, you lock them into the past. And that's where they are. And they'll always be there. Whether it's Daniel in a lion's den, whether it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel in a fiery furnace, it will just be history if you keep it literal. But if you begin to see it from the spiritual aspect of it, it can be you this very moment in a lion's den. It can be you this very moment in a fiery furnace. If you understand that, and the Word, I think, of God is always in the present, the reality. So when you try to find where eternity is at, or eternalness, it's always now. When you make it was, past tense, you make it history. When you make it future, something that will happen, may happen, then you make it hope, something that's out yonder. And God wants us to always, now is the appointed time of salvation. Or in other words, now is that time to be whole, to be complete, to be healed, to be prosperous, to be blessed. It's right now. And this right now is the moment that you're alive. You thought you was alive a while ago, and you think you'll be alive in a little while, but you ain't. Because when you get to a little while, you find it's now. And when you look at your past, you realize it's now. So this is the moment. So I want us to look at Genesis chapter 28 as a story. And I want you to understand that the very things that what I see, the very things that all of humanity are looking for the most part of them, they can't find it because they look in the wrong places, or they don't even look at all. Many times people are just passing through life and life is happening to them. And they wonder why or what's happening. Why is this happening to me? And they're just passing through. And all kinds of things can happen to you in passing through. Are many people are looking for things, but they're looking, and I see this all the time, they're looking in the wrong places. They want answers to their questions, and they want solutions to their problems. And again, I could say this, if there's 10 or 10,000 or 100,000 people sitting or listening to this, those people are wanting answers to their questions, or they are wanting solutions to their problems. And for the most part of them, the answer, the solution, the healing, the blessing, the peace, the joy, the riches, the happiness are not found where most people look. They're not. Do you know where most people look for those things? Most people look in one of two places, not knowing they're looking in the same place. Most people either look in the world or religion and don't know that's the same place. They haven't realized and recognized that that's the same place. It's not any difference in gathering in a place that's religious and gathering in a place that's worldly. Not any whatsoever. They'll do the same for you, both places. And you will not get the answers that you seek, and you will not get the solutions to the problems that you face. You will never find them when you go to religion or the world. And they're synonymous. They're not any difference in either place. The religion does not have an answer. I mean, think with me. If it did, it would have answered the question a long time ago. I mean, you know, here, hello. The world don't have it. If it did, it would have answered it. But God does have. God does have your answer, and God does have your solution. Don't matter what your question is or what your problem is, God has it. And He has gone to so many lengths and extents and methods and ways to try to show it to us, and we're oblivious to it. Most of us are ignorant to it. Most of us are blind to it. Most of us are going our merry way. Life's beating the hell out of us, and we're wondering what is going on. And we just keep going our merry way, or it's not, maybe it's not so merry. We smile and want everybody to think, wow, this is just wonderful. And you get really down in there, you're like, it's not so wonderful. It's a mess. I know Connie and I live in that kind of a hypocritical life. And I'll be honest with you, it's such a relief not to be that. So we have problems? Sure we do. But you know what we do to them? We conquer them. We flat overcome them. We don't let them conquer us, and we sure don't hide behind them. And we sure not going to let them begin to paint a facade, a hypocrisy, a face. So, hallelujah. Anyway, say amen. All that. You got to, that's a message in itself. All that. So, Genesis chapter 28, if you found that, let's read this story. And again, I say this, all of you have heard this story, and let's just see what it says. Verse 11, it says, "And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and he put them on pillows, and he lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set down upon the earth, of the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon you liest. To thee will I give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed will all of the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in the places wherever you go, and will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come into my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And the stone which I set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that shall give me, I will surely give to thee a tenth," or give back to God a tenth. How many of y'all have read that story? Let me see your hands. Everybody? How many of you heard that story? Everybody's heard that story. Now, I've seen pictures of it painted. I saw one picture in a guy's house of this ladder as a picture of the DNA of a human being, which I thought was really neat, a spiral it was a blowed up huge picture of the DNA of humanity. But I want us to take this story and I want us to just kind of break it down and look at it. And what I'm going to look at it from is a spiritual perspective, not a literal, not a natural. You say, well, Brother Lynn, do you believe that there was really a Jacob and that this really happened to Jacob? And I'll say this, it could have been. And it don't matter to me that there was or there wasn't. What I want to know is, is there anything in this that God would like for me to see? Is there anything in this that God would like for me to hear? And I don't care nothing about arguing with you that there was literally a Jacob, and I don't care nothing about that. But I would say this, if you look at the problems that are probably dominant on the world news today, to go with this nation and our country and countries of the world, you would find them in the middle of this particular story in many ways, shape, forms, and fashion. Because what do you think the fighting and the killing is all about over there in the Middle East, in Palestine, in Iraq, and Iran? Killing one another over a piece of property. That's what it's about. This land. And I don't think that we understand which land that this land is. So verse 11, I want you to notice what he says about verse 11. He said, and he lighted upon a certain place and he tarried there all night. The story, this particular story, as well as so many of them, starts in the night season. If you read Genesis chapter 1 about the fourth or fifth verse, you would see that that's how it began. It began the evening and the morning were the first day. It began at a night season. Or you could say it this way, it began at a dark time. And I do not believe that a person has to wait until his darkest or her darkest moment to allow God to begin to work in their life, but so often that's the case. You can go to prison, and that's where they've gotten to. It seems like the end of their road or at the bottom of their pit or barrel, and that's where they said, oh, I believe I'll turn to God. Well, I don't believe that God intended that you have to wait until that point in time. However, if it's that point in time, and it may be that point in time in your life, it's a night season. And so this particular situation takes place. Something's beginning to happen in a night season. And he says, it was in a certain place, he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took stones of that place, and he put them as pillows. Plural, pillows. He took stones. Now, how many of y'all have ever cuddled up next to a real good rock and lay there with that rock really huddled up next to you? Anybody ever done that? Y'all haven't lived yet. You got to get up close to a real good rock. I'm talking a cold one. I'm talking about a hard one. I'm talking about a stone. Now, do you believe that? Do you think this is what... How many of you have ever took a rock and make a rock your pillow? Or if, you know, here in the South, you would actually call your pillow your pillar. You know how we do it? Especially you go over here on this end of the county, and they say, yeah, I had a pillar under my head last night. But they meant pillow. I don't know if they got it from this story from Jacob or not. I don't know. I'm not sure. But if you want to say that this is what's going on literally, that this man is cuddling up next to a rock, I would say that maybe you ought to re-examine the story. Because I don't think anybody's cuddling up next to no rock. And I sure don't think that anybody's going to put a rock under their head and think that that rock's going to give them any kind of sleep at all. I would say I'd have dreams too. So, I want to say this and I want to suggest this to you. If you look at the word that's used in here, sometimes you would get a different picture of what's going on. And so when Jacob said that he's going to take stones, the word stones actually is a word that would be used, he puts them as pillows. The word stone could actually be used for plans or blueprint. So what is the man doing here? He's putting forth a blueprint or a plan, which everybody should have a blueprint or a plan. If you don't have a blueprint or a plan for your life, then your life just happens and you look back and say, well, I wonder why that happened. It happened just simply because you're just passing through. You have no observation of what's going on. So what the man is doing right up front is he's beginning to plan. Everybody say plan. He's beginning to plan to build. He's planning in order to build. How many of you would have a good idea? Maybe God does that. God has a plan to build something. God don't just haphazardly go out and do something. He's got him a blueprint. First thing he does, he's got him a blueprint. The only thing that you put up without a plan is a toilet or an outhouse or a barn. But if you're going to build something that's magnificent, if you're going to build something that's monumental, if you're going to build something that has eternal value, I would have a blueprint or a plan. Everybody say amen. Amen. Well, that's exactly what God is doing here. He's showing us a blueprint or a plan. So the first thing that Jacob does is he takes a plan or a blueprint and he puts them up for pillows. Now I want y'all to get this picture with me if you can. I will try to elaborate on it. Is that this man here, he's working in this night season. God's doing something tremendous. And what he's doing, he's placing 12 stones, which are 12 plans, and these are about him. They're around him. And he places them there. He says that he places the pillows, and the pillows become pillars. In other words, they become foundations. They become immovable positions. Okay, that's what the story is talking about. And so the word pillow, actually in the Greek, the word pillow means headpiece. Or it means, if you read over in the book of Revelations in the 12th chapter, it talks about this woman that's clothed with the sun and standing on top of the moon, has a crown on her head with 12 stones in it. A headpiece, if you would. I mean, all God is doing, he does so many things to try to show us so many simple things. So right now, the word pillow means that we got a headpiece, and the headpiece means dominion or principality. We're talking about power. We're talking about government. Anytime you see the number 12, it always refers to government, something that has governing ability. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing this man who has a headpiece, a blueprint, and in this blueprint of this headpiece, this dominion or this principality, this government that he's talking about here, he's talking about something that God is doing that is foundational. Okay? And then it says in verse 12, and he dreamed a dream. He dreamed a dream. Everybody say he dreamed. Do y'all remember what you dreamed last night? I guarantee you can talk to 100 people in a room and probably 90 or 95 of them couldn't tell you what they dreamed last night. They would say, I don't even know if I had a dream. But I tell you, you probably did. You probably did. Because God neither slumbers or sleeps. And many times he's trying to get through to you and communicate with you in your dreams. A dream is something that takes place in the realm of your super consciousness. Because you're not conscious of the fact that you're dreaming, are you? Because if you were conscious of the fact that you were dreaming, you could sit right here now and tell me what you dreamed. And many people can. Many people can wake up and say, well, I had a dream last night. I don't remember what it was. And some people say, oh, I remember what my dream was, but I ain't sure. Usually it's always weird. Have you ever noticed that? Well, I was chasing this dog, but I never could catch him. I was falling, but I never did hit the bottom. But I thought I was going to hit the bottom, and I woke up. I heard one guy say, if you'd hit the bottom, you'd never woke up. But your dream, when you're talking about a dream, what you're talking about is your super consciousness. You're not talking about your conscious mind. Your dream's not taking place in your conscious mind. Your dream's taking place in your super... Oh, I'll say it this way. Your dream's taking place in the realm of the spirit. God's communicating with you. God's talking to you. God's showing you pictures, pillows, pillars, rocks, foundations, whatever. God's talking to you. And this guy's in a dream. So I will say this to you, just like I would tell you in the book of Revelation. It says that John was on the spirit there. In other words, John was in the realm of the supernatural. Or in other words, John's seeing supernatural spiritual things. Just like Jacob right now is not trying to refer to natural, literal things that's happening where he's laying down and patting his head on a bunch of rocks. He's talking about something that's supernatural, something spirit. He's in the spirit. He's in the realm of dreams. He's in the realm of the subconscious mind, the super. He's deep inside you. See, we always want to make this literal, but that's not what's happening. He's in a dream. He has a dream. So he dreams a dream. He's in his superconscious. He's a spirit. And in the verse 12, it said he dreamed and behold a ladder. You know, I don't know if that was a 12-foot ladder or a 20-foot ladder. Or you may even think that was a one-mile ladder. That's how we see, because what we try to do is we try to make it literal. But the word here in the Hebrew actually is kolam, which just means a staircase, or, listen to me, a staircase or steps. What is he seeing? He's seeing, how many of y'all ever heard of a 12-step program? He's seeing 12 steps. He's seeing 12 pillars. He's seeing 12 stones. He's placed them around him. These are plans. These are blueprints. These are the things that God's showing him. He said, now, I'm showing you the steps. I'm telling you, there are steps that God has shown us, that God's intended us, and I really believe most of us lost the steps. You know, step one, for instance, step one is where you have a conscious experience with the superconscious. What does that mean? It means that you must have some kind of an experience with God before you begin any step anywhere. You know what religion is taking at? And they said, well, you must come up here and join the church. You must come up here and get born again or get saved. Well, I would say there is some truth to that. What I would say is you must have an experience. You've got to have something that's outside the realm of the normal. It must be paranormal. You've got to have an experience. And I'm going to tell you, they're happening to us all the time. We just don't pay attention to them. They're all around us. And there are God experiences, but we just sometimes don't even pay them any mind. We just let them slip by. That's the first step. That's the first step. So what, he's dreaming a dream. He sees a ladder. He sees these steps. And these steps are the initiations that God is trying to show him. If you come down to verse 18, it says, And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set them up for pillars. If you notice that. In other words, he took this headpiece, or these steps of dominion that he sees, and he said, these are the columns. These things are going to be the stones. He calls them pillars. They are going to be the columns. They're going to be stationed. And they are going to, they're here for purposes. In other words, what he's talking about, he's saying the sun, the moon, the planets, and all these, you know, as he places these things around him, because you have to think, this is oriental, whether you really recognize it or not. In other words, he's thinking in ways or in means that we don't think of here in America. So he says the stones are blueprints. And then look at what he says in verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. Everybody say Bethel. It's the house of God. So where was he at? He was in the house of God. Oh, Jesus, help me. He was in the house of God. Well, where was he at? He was in this place where God was showing him these plans, these steps, this ladder, this blueprint, this headpiece, these 12 columns, these 12 steps of initiation. He's there, and God said, this is my house. You're in my house. I'm going to tell you right now, you're all in God's house. Not because you're in a building. I tell you, this building is not God's house. God's house is phenomenal. It's far greater than this building. But you're in God's house. And that's what he said. God told him, you got to remember, this is what God's telling him. Because he's in this dream. He's in his superconscious. He's in the spirit. Verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first. Luz just simply means departure or separation. He said, at first, this place was where you had departed, you had separated. And that's how most of us are. When we come forth from our mother's womb, we begin to lose that connection we had with God from eternity past to eternity future. We begin to lose that connection because we get more connected to the natural carnal world, and we start to live our life out from the natural carnal perspective rather than from the spiritual. We begin to live our life in the natural rather than living our life in the spiritual, and we begin to think we are human beings and occasionally have a spiritual experience rather than to realize that we are spiritual beings, eternal like God, and we're having a human experience. We get it backwards. And we live with it backwards. We live with it confused. We live most of our life. You know, 60, 70, 80, 100, 120, 200 years, whatever you got, whatever you get, whatever you think, that's it. Dear Lord, that ain't nothing. That don't even scratch the scratch of the scratch to eternity. And you are eternal beings in the image and the likeness of God. Spirit of His spirit, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. So, I mean, you know, that's what God says about you. God said, this place is Bethel, but at first it was where you departed from me. It was. It was the place of departures where you went out. And you call it Luz, you call it departure. Well, I, you know, most all people think that them and God are separate. They do. They don't know that them and God are one. I mean, Jesus tried to continually remind us, me and my Father are one. If you see me, you've seen the Father. You would think, well, I would be facetious to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, that's carrying it too far, Brother Lynn. That's carrying it too far, Jesus. What do you mean we've seen you? Well, they killed him, didn't they? You can't say that. Well, they kill us too. They kill you, they would kill me. Why? Because they're always thinking in the natural. They're always trying to take a spiritual document and make it a literal document. They're always trying to take that God is trying to convey in stories to us and make it literal, where God is trying to say, no, it's far greater than that. It's concepts. That's what the Greek word nomos, which translates law, means concepts. Truths. Principles. God's given them to us. And they're here so that you can do this, so that you can find the answers to your problems, so that you can find the solutions to the situations in your life, so that you can find your healing, so you can find your blessing, so you can find your riches, so you can find your happiness. What do you think God is about? Religion teaches you that God is an escape mechanism to get you out of the world, to get you out of this place, because after all, it's miserable. It's miserable for them. It's beautiful to me. It's the most wonderful, glorious place that I could possibly be at this moment, because it is where I is. And I'm not going to allow the moment of a darkness or the moment of some bad time to steal from me that blessing and glory. Not going to do it. That's shallow. We live in such a shallow, carnal, natural realm. And we are drunk on it. We're trapped in it. And God is just saying, He's just saying, look, I've got some steps. I've got an initiation path. I've got a plan. I've got a blueprint. You know, I've set this thing. It's in immovable stones. And He said it's His way home. All these steps are, you were in Luz, you departed. You went away from me. You were in Luz. But I'm calling this Bethel, and I'm showing you the steps back to me. That's what God is doing. He's saying, here are the steps. This is the staircase. This is the ladder to come back to me, to make your connection. Man, that's what we want, isn't it? But we've been trained by religion to take it literally. And when we take it literally, we miss what God's saying. We don't see it. You know, if you take these verses literally, then you'll miss what God is saying. What you'll do is you'll take this literally and you'll put it back over there in the Middle East. Because you'll say, well, He was talking about that land. But He wasn't talking about that land. He's talking about this land. This land. I'm talking about this land. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your being, your physical being. This is the land of God. This is the house of God. See, this is. not that over there. I mean, if that was it, if this was literal, you know what we ought to all do? Let's all join something and go over there and just beat the hell out of them. Let's get us a gun and go kill them. I mean, let's do it, because if you're going to read it and you're going to take it literal, and he said it's this land, let's go get it. Let's go conquer it. I mean, come on. And you know good and well, that's exactly what they're doing. They're over there killing each other. You think that's the plan of God? Do you think that's God's idea? We are messed up in our minds because of religion and the world. They are merged together as one instrument, pulling against each other, but pulling with each other. What happens over there, you know good and well, anybody that has any sense is a natural, carnal, religious thing. That's religion happening over there. And if you think our religion is any different, you're wrong. Religion is religion is religion. It is all damnable. It'll all destroy us. It'll make us fight one another. It'll make two Baptists get together in one room, and one Baptist talks to the other Baptist, and he realizes, you don't believe the way I believe. And whoa, the war is on. Come on, you know, yeah, the war is on. Why? Because they build a belief system, call it their religious dogmas and doctrines, and they bought into it, they're sold into it, and they kill each other over it. And that's not the ways of God. That's not what God's talking about. God has called the natural and the spiritual to come together in one place. That's why God has visited me in my physical body from His spiritual dimension. One place. That's why He said, Luz, where you departed, now has become Bethel, my house. Amen. So the struggle has always been and always will be. Now I want you to just turn back a page or two, whatever you need to, back to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. The natural and the literal have always existed and coexisted together simultaneously, and that's always been the plan of God, that they exist together. And yet they have always fought in this battle or this struggle. It's not necessarily the way God intended it to be. But Genesis chapter 25. And by the way, it's kind of late to say this, but let me tell you what those 12 stones represent. They represent the 12 signs of the zodiac. Amen. In which you'll see that anytime when you see the number 12, then you ought to begin to get suspicious. What does that mean? Yes, it means government. Yes, it does mean God's parliamentary order. It does have to do with that, and it's referring to that, but it always is referring to the 12 signs of the zodiac. Now, in Christianity, we've tried to point at them and said, oh, you better watch out. You better not pout. I mean, after all, you better look out. Because you get over in that, and you're in trouble. You get over, you'll start practicing divination. Well, shoot, what we've done is we have allowed the enemy to steal our blessing. Amen. We've allowed the enemy to steal our story. That's what we've done. We've allowed that carnal, natural realm to steal from us what God has created. It's beautiful and has answers in it. I mean, you know, the other day, I can't tell you that right now. I'll tell it to you in a minute. I'll try to. Genesis chapter 25, look at verse 20. It says, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, and the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, a Padanaram, is the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she is barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. She got pregnant. And the children struggled together within her. Now she's got twins. Now, this is a literal, natural story, if that's what you want to make it. But that's not what it is. It's a spiritual story. What it's saying is a picture of you. Because you are born in the womb of God, and you're born both naturally and spiritually, and in the womb of God, that natural, spiritual struggles. And I would say the struggle is not a bad thing. It's like the positive and the negative, the posts on your battery. They're not bad. The positive is not a good one and the negative a bad one, or the negative a good one and the positive. They're not. It's the two of them. It takes both of them to crank your car or you'd be walking down here. So we're talking about the male, the female, positive, the negative. We're talking about the light, the dark. You see, God always has the tension, and in the middle of the tension and in the struggle of the tension is where you find that place where God wants you to find. So he says right here that she's got twins. She's pregnant. And notice what it says in verse 22. And the children struggle together within her. And so what happens over in the Middle East between the Palestinians and the Israelites is this battle right now. They're fighting, they're killing each other. The kids at 10 and 11 and 12, you watch the news, you see it. At 10 and 11 and 12, they hate each other. It's innate in them to kill each other. They're going to kill each other, bless God. Why? This struggle, this war, it's all always existed. You know what they're fighting over? It's our land. It's ours. And they're fighting over a literal, natural thing. Religion's always done that. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went and she inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations. Everybody say two. Two nations, that's the natural and the spiritual. Two worlds, two things coexist inside you at the same time. That's how God created Adam and Eve. In Genesis 1 it says, and God created them, male, female, in His image. So the image of God is male and female. That's where God shows that out of the great vast nothingness of who He is, He brings forth that tension of male, female, that positive, negative. That's where life is created. That's where that cell of that DNA is in that. So he said, two nations are in your womb. Two manners of people shall be separated from your bowels. In other words, a spiritual people, a natural people. And what has happened and what is happening, and it's I think it's reversing, praise God. I believe it must reverse. I believe it's a necessity that it reverse. What's happened is the natural, the literal, has been the dominant one for lo these thousands of years. And it don't matter if you want to take the religion of the Jews, the religions of the Christians, the religion of the Muslims, the religion of the I don't care what religion you take. It's where the natural has begun to dominate something. And in the natural, they're trying to show you natural ways and means to go back to your Father. Where God has always said, no, it's a spiritual thing. So the two manner of people will be separated from your bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder, that's the firstborn, the natural, will serve the younger. Now I would say this, for most of us in our lives, it hasn't happened yet. We are still serving the older kid, your natural man. Whatever he wants, he gets. Whims and whines, kicks and cries, natural man gets it. But I'm going to tell you, the spiritual man, he's rising. He's on the rise. The older will serve the younger. Now I want you to get that. That's God's plan order. The natural will serve the spirit. In other words, we'll go back just like Francis of Assisi. George and Connie and I were eating supper last night together, and I said, you know, Francis of Assisi said, well, look at your... He said, there is my body. It thinks it wants something to eat. That's how he lived. He always saw his body, his natural man, as a third person. It. Look at it. He was talking about him being outside himself, looking at himself. Look at him. Look at him. Look at Lynn. He thinks he's hungry. He thinks he wants something to eat. Just look at him. That's just his old physical flesh. Thinks it wants this and thinks it wants that. Verse 24, it says, and when the days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. In other words, that's Esau. It was his name. And Esau just means natural, carnal. Okay, it says, and the first came out red, all over, hairy like a garment, and he called his name Esau. Esau is where we get our name Edom. Edom. And most people, now I'll hear this, don't let this slip, most people trace demonology back to Edom or Esau. If you want to talk about demons and demonology, what you're talking about is just old hairy flesh. Natural man. Just natural man. You know, because if you look at some commentaries, they will say Esau, or it will have equivalent demon. Or it will say Edom, and it will say equivalent demon. So if you want to see a demon, go look in the mirror. And you'll see one. Make sure you're looking in a mirror where you're in the only, you're the only one in the room. Then you'll be able to see. You'll be able to see. Oh, there he is. Whoa, look at him. He looks like me. The rascal has done took on my image. Yeah, he does, don't he? Yeah, I'm telling you, he really does. Verse 26, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. See, what happens is the spirit's coming out, but the spirit that's coming out, he has got a handle on the walk. You may not be walking the walk, but I'm going to tell you what, your spirit's got a hold on it. Amen. He has got his hold on your heel. He's going to. You will trip up and he'll stand up. I don't know how long that takes, but you know, that's going to happen. And his name was called Jacob, or Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when all of this took place. So when you read this story, we're talking about the story of the spiritual. We're talking about the story of the natural and the struggle they've always had. And I want us to go to the passage that we've used quite a bit thus far, Psalms chapter 19. And I want to elaborate on this passage just a little bit. And I want to take the Amplified, and I want to read this, because Kenny had asked a question last week, and I didn't really answer his question because I didn't even actually hear it until I listened to the tape. I didn't hear what he asked. But Psalms 19, if you'll find that opening, you can go home and you can spend time reading this whole chapter. It's only 14 verses. You can read it. You ought to read it a lot because we're going to talk about it a lot. It is a perfect picture of the zodiac, the constellation, the 12 signs of the constellation, and what the constellation is about. And when we read it, it starts out in Psalms 19:1. It says, "In the heavens declare." The word "declare" is the Hebrew word, which just simply means to show forth or to speak or talk. And I say this right at the very beginning here, when he's talking about the heavens talking, declaring, or speaking, we're talking about the stars. We're talking about the 12 pillars that are around the whole earth. You understand what I'm saying? It's all the way around us. I'm talking about the signs of the zodiac are speaking. The other morning, I was going to tell you this a minute ago, and I said, the other morning, one of them spoke to me just like that. And okay. And you know what? It was an impression. It was a intuition. It wasn't even a thought. It wasn't a thought. It was just impressed on me. And when it was impressed on me, it wasn't just a word like, say, there it is. Man, it was a book. It was something I could read. It's like when you talk about the Aborigines, they communicate, they have telepathic communication. They communicate with each other 20 miles apart. And it's not like one is saying a word to the other one. They are communicating concept, whole ideas, a book, a whole volume of something. How do you think God speaks to you? See, what we want God to do is speak to our outer ear and me hear Him say, "Now, Lynn, stop. Now, Lynn, go. Now, Lynn, that's purple. Now, Lynn, that's wrong." That's not what God is doing. That's not how God speaks. That's not God's word. It says in Romans chapter 10 that you do not have faith unless you hear God speak. We're not talking about reading the Bible. We're not talking about reading a book. If you study the passage of Scripture, it's saying that faith only comes. Faith is a supernatural energy of God that gives you an ability to do supernatural things. In other words, it gives you an ability to walk on water. It gives you an ability to cast out devil. It gives you an ability to heal sick. Most of us don't have faith because most of us ain't took the time to hear what God said. It's just like the other morning. It happened to me quicker than a split second. It was an impression. And in that impression, it said a lot of things. And I thought, whoa. It just said a whole lot of things. And you know what? I wasn't even in my meditation closet. I wasn't really quiet going, I was going down the road in my truck. I wasn't doing anything. There it was. You know what it was? All I did is somehow or another, for just a moment, a split second in time, I tune the channel to the frequency of heaven. And when I did, whew, it said things. That's all I did. I got on it's happening right now. Right now, you know good and well, in the natural, there are frequencies, songs being sung in the airways. Right now, if you just turn your natural invention, radio, to that frequency, whoo, you can pick up jingle bells, da-da-da-da-da. Or you can pick up something about your dog at the bar running off with your wife. It's there. All of it's there. And you can tune right in and you can hear it. But I'm going to tell you, there's a higher frequency. There are songs being sung. There are declarations being declared. There are statements being stated. And they're coming from God's voice. From these 12 pillars. From the 12 constellations. From the zodiac that is constantly above us speaking to us. When a child is born, that constellation is speaking to it. It's imprinting it. It's speaking God's word into that child. The heavens declare the glory. The word glory means plan, purpose, weight, ideas of God. And the firmament shows His handiworks. And again, the word declare, the word show, both have to do with speaking, talking, recording, inscribing. You see, God did write a book, and most of them don't know it, but God's book that God wrote is the 12 signs in the zodiac. That's the book of God. If you learn to read it, if we can learn to read it, it's saying phenomenal things about it. What we have learned to do is in religion, we've learned to take religion and divination and different things and try to manipulate from it. Use it for my good. In other words, I can become a real good palm reader. I can say, give me your palm, give me your hand. And I've learned to read the stars. I've learned to feel the energy. I say, oh, okay, look at this. Boy, I see something there. What? It takes you less energy and less time just to get quiet and hear what that's saying to you firsthand. Because God's speaking. But do you know what we are? We are such a busy people. I ain't got time to do that. When we put in practice what this says, verse 3 and 4 is what I wanted to read. I'm going to say this and I'm trying to wind down and close on it. Verse 3 and 4, I'm going to just read it from the Amplified translation. The Amplified says, there is no speech nor spoken word from the stars. Now, if you took it like that, and that's all you thought, you'd say, well, then the stars are not speaking. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying in its context that there's not a speech and there's not a language that from the stars that it's not spoken to the earth. So all it's saying is God knows every language and every speech that exists on the earth, and it's speaking from the heavens. So if I understand that, then I can read it like this. It says, day after day pours forth speech. Or if I read it from this translation, let me just read it to you from this translation so that you can get another picture of it. There, Madam Day holds classes every morning, Professor Knight lectures every evening. Their words aren't heard. The implication is here, you don't hear them with your natural ear. You have to get in a fourth dimension reality. You've got to get in a spirit realm. You've got to be asleep. You've got to be in the super conscious. Your natural ear, you ain't hearing them. Their words aren't heard. Their voices aren't recorded, but their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. You know, that's why it says be still and know God. Get in the quiet place. That's why Jesus said go in your prayer closet. Go in that quiet place, because it's in that quiet place that volumes are being said. Not with your natural ears. You don't hear it that way. You hear it in your heart, inside, with your inner being. The frequency is not found in the natural. It's found in the spirit. You get on God's frequency. You get tuned in. So what happens is the signs are not to be worshipped. Listen to me. They're pointers of God. They're just books that are pointing you to that is to be worshipped. Who is God? So, when we talk about Joseph, and who is one of those 12 boys of Jacob that he had, I want to read one other scripture, and I'm going to close with this scripture. If you go back to Genesis 37, I just want to read this in closing. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to go back, before I read this in Genesis, I'm going to go back and finish reading from Kenny and Tammy's translation that they were looking at the Amplified, that says, there is no speech nor spoken word from the stars, that's in brackets, that their voice is not heard. Yet, verse 4, and this says, yet their voice in evidence, brackets again, goes out through all the earth. So you have to understand what we're talking about is two different kinds of language. We're talking about a natural language and we're talking about a spiritual language. God's always speaking in the spirit. Always. God always has something to say to us. Always. There's never a moment that he don't have. It's just sometimes we just don't hear it. Genesis 37, look at verse 5. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream. What's he doing now, y'all? He's in the spirit again. This is one of the boys. This is one of Jacob's boys. He had 12 kids. Y'all remember that. He went on, had him four wives and had him four women. Had 12 kids. You know, all of that is metaphoric language, symbolic language. It's all speaking of supernatural things. It's, if you take it literal, you just get in a mess. How in the world anybody want four wives? That's dumb. That is about as dumb as anything that you ever heard of. I mean, that is dumb. Who wants to share her? I mean, that's crazy. Y'all read them stories and you think, well, buddy, them were horny rascals back then, wasn't they? I mean, you look at David. How you gonna satisfy 900 women? I mean, y'all think that's all literal. Y'all think that, I'm sorry, then David didn't have time to do anything. He didn't have time to run a kingdom. If y'all believe that, if y'all go, I mean, that is that bizarre? Is that dumb? Verse 5, it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him. I understand that. I can tell my brother what God shows me in the spirit, and they get mad. Why do they get mad? What are you getting mad about? Why are you so upset? I'm just showing you something that's awesome, beautiful. This is a thing of the spirit. What Jesus did, you can do. Well, bless God, you can't. He's the only begotten Son of God. What do you mean you can do it? Oh, that's what he told me. He said, whatever I can do, you can do. And you know what? You can even do it better. Oh, that's crazy. That's heresy. You got to be kidding. You get in the spirit and everybody gets mad. They hate him. Verse 6, and he said unto them, here, I pray you this dream which I dreamed. He said, I'm going to show you something in the spirit now. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance. In other words, they bowed to my sheave. And his brethren said unto him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. If they would have seen what he was saying, they could have got excited. But they didn't. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and he told his brethren, and behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed to me also. And he told it to his father. Look at verse 10. And he told this dream to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to you, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father did what?
Kept the matter in mind.
His father observed the saying. You know what his daddy said? Daddy's thinking, what's this boy saying? This boy's talking about the zodiac. And all he was saying is, I'm one of them. My life represents one of those rocks, one of those pillows, one of those stones that God's speaking to. And he's speaking to all of us that way. We just have an ear. You know, you go into the book of Revelations and you talk about the 12 gates of the city. What are you talking about? Same thing. You're talking about the 12 stones, the foundations of the city in the book of Revelation, the city that's the city of God that God's building. Still talking about the same thing. You're talking about the 12 apostles. When you're talking about the 12 apostles, you're not talking about anything that's any different than the 12 sons that make up the 12 tribes of Israel. It's all saying the same thing, just many, many, many different ways where God is beginning to speak and say, look, you know, should this draw your attention to the zodiac? Should you study? I would say absolutely yes. Should you begin to be aware? Yeah. I mean, you know, a few weeks back, Connie was talking about that when her and I were going through that struggle, that she snuck off and she read the horoscope in the newspaper. And she said, you know what really amazed me? It was right. Oh, you know, taboo, taboo, taboo. Can't read that. Don't you read that. Come on. I mean, you know, they have learned to read your horoscope to realize, man, there's an energy coming from that. There's something happening there. There's a frequency. You get tuned into it and see what God's saying. God is speaking. God's saying something. Amen. Come on, baby.